Well, it's great to be here tonight, folks, and you know, I don't get the chance to preach very often, so this could either be very short or very long, so I'll keep an eye there on the clock behind, so you've nothing to worry about tonight. This is just the third time now that I've preached in Ireland here. I preached over in Rafoe there a couple of nights over in the Congregational Church, and I preached one time when I was in Romania too. But that was through an interpreter, so maybe they helped me along the way. Our reading tonight was in John 14. And when we think about our own lives, our lives are full of a lot of ups and downs. That's what my life is anyway. A lot of ups and downs. And, you know, we shouldn't be ignorant of the fact that that's just the way it is. But there's something good about being in the comfort zone. You know, when everything's going all right, it's good. We're comfortable without change. Change causes can cause a bit of unrest. And we never know from day to day what can happen. Anything can happen. And can be a massive shock in our life. So, the disciples here in John 13, before we come into 14, the disciples were with Jesus. And they were spending all their time with Jesus. And Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, which was something, you know, unheard of for the Messiah, the Son of God, to be washing these men's feet. These men were in shock. They couldn't really handle this, what was happening. And then Jesus went on to say that, you know, one of you is going to betray me. And these men were all Jesus' friends too. So this was hard. This was hard for Jesus to take in. And then Jesus' closest disciple, Peter, he told Peter then, he says, "You're going to deny me." And this would have been a shock for Peter, but would also have been a shock for the rest of the disciples, you know, because Peter would have maybe seemed like a very strong disciple. So this wasn't easy for the disciples to take. And they spent a lot of time with Jesus, and they would have been around Jesus and knew everything about Jesus. And that, for us, is even just an example for us. It's the best place to be, just to be spending time with Jesus and in the Word of God. You know, and I was just thinking, you know, how many times we even say to ourselves, you know, we should do more of that. We should take a wee bit more time to pray. We should get up a wee bit earlier in the morning, or we should spend more time in the Word of God. There's not many of us that would say, "I think I'm spending too much time, you know, with God and the Word of God." But it's something that we should always try to do, is to spend a wee bit more time with God. My time for God is in the morning. That's personally, that's my time. I like to get up early and spend time with God in the morning. I find it difficult at nights. My head starts to go down, my eyes start to close. That's probably because I'm running after three young wains half the time too. And once they get to their bed, it's good for me to get a bit of rest too. But the morning time, as I say, it's a morning time. I would get up there maybe at 6:30 to spend a bit of time with the Lord. And maybe the youngest girl, she then gets up at 6:45. So that's that in those days, but it's all good. So we go on to John 14 here, and I have 3 points here, and it's just a message here just to encourage you, you know, because I need, in my life as a Christian, I need encouragement, you know, because life's not easy, you know, and the Christian life's definitely not easy. It's quite often a harder life, and, you know, it's "let not your heart be troubled." Jesus is preparing a place. You know, the disciples were troubled. They were going through this, and Jesus was telling them what was going to happen. And Jesus is preparing a place, and he's preparing a place for us. In John 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You know, the disciples had trusted. They were trusting in Jesus. They had learnt all about God growing up, these men. You know, they had known the Old Testament inside out. And Jesus was just reassuring them through all these things, you know, to trust in him. And just to follow him, you know, he was going to prepare a place in his Father's house, Jesus says. And that's where our home is, you know. And Jesus is in my Father's house. Heaven is our home. John 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, it's through Jesus that we come to the Father. There's no other way. We know that. That is the only way it's possible to come. And heaven is now our home. John 15 and verse 19, you know, it says that we are not of this world anymore. It says, "If you were of the world would love its own, But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know, whenever you come to know Jesus in your life changes. My life changed unbelievably. All of a sudden, I never felt comfortable in the world anymore. Everything that I had done, you know, it just seemed to, it's hard to explain. It's only through the Spirit of God in you, you know, and receiving the Spirit of God, you can understand, you know, how this world is no longer our home. You know, we moved house here. Karen and I moved house. We moved up to Brady. And a couple of people gave us a few plaques for the walls. Home is where the heart is. And that's what it is, you know. You know, no matter where I am in this world and in this life, this is not my home, and I know that. And that's what Jesus was saying here to the disciples too. And I'm sure many of you in this church too know what that's like. You know, we have our houses and we have our own beds, and, you know, it's good to get back to them. You know, it'll feel like a bit like home tonight, but you know it's not your final destination. You know, heaven is your home. And something that we desire to be in heaven with God. There's something about us that we desire to be in heaven with our Father, with Jesus, and with all these great characters we hear about in the Bible. But there's something about us and in us that desires to be here too. And that's to serve God. You know, we're here to serve God. You know, we trust in God. We've asked Jesus into our life, and we're here to serve God. Because, you know, if you're like me, you have a burning desire in your life to see people come to know Jesus. You know, it's my passion to talk to people about Jesus. You know, I know what it's like to come out of pure darkness unto light. And, you know, I like to see other people experiencing that and having that in their life too. And, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to see our loved ones saved. It's hard, you know, maybe if you've trusted in the Lord, and maybe if some of your children are not walking with the Lord, you know, I know that must be hard. Now having children of my own, that's how my father was for years with me. You know, but it's through prayer and through just trusting in Jesus that we will see our family saved. And we're here to fulfill a purpose. You know, people think sometimes if they're not up in the pulpit or not playing the organ or whatever they're doing in the church, they're not maybe serving God too much. But, you know, everybody is unique in the service of God. Only you can touch people, you know, in your family and in your circles, your work circles. That's what's great. You know, we all come to the Lord in different ways, you know, through the Spirit of God and through repentance of sin. But, you know, it's all different. It's kind of like a fingerprint. We're all unique, and we all contribute that into different people's lives. And, you know, there's something about going home, you know, knowing where you're going. You know, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And there's something about knowing where you're going. Karen and I used to go on quite a lot of holidays. You know, the usual holidays, Spain and all these different countries out there. And a lot of times we would have just waited till the last day. Or we would have booked one day and we would have gone the next day. And, you know, you're always taking a chance. Allocation on arrival, you know. A few of you might know what I'm talking about. And you just don't know where you're going. You get off the plane and you get onto the bus. And the next thing, you're away. And every hotel you're pulling up at, you're wondering, is this it? Is this it? And it's not a very nice experience sometimes. I remember one time we were way up in the hills, and I was saying to Karen, I says, I'm never doing this again. But we were leaving somebody else off up in the hills, and we came right back down into the town. You know, so it's good to know where you're going, you know, to know your destination. And we have a peace in our hearts. You know, as believers, we have a peace in our heart that we know where we're going. That's something we have assurance of. And, you know, the disciples never even had this. As Jesus was talking to the disciples, they never had this. We've got the completed scriptures here before us, but they didn't have that. We have that. So it would have been harder for them to take all this on. But thank God that we have this. And even Jesus was encouraged in this. It says in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus knew exactly where he was going. He was going to prepare a place for us. You know, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm not sure what kind of mansions, you know, this is really speaking about in heaven. But Jesus says, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, I was just thinking, you know, why is he saying I go to prepare? You know, the continual work. And just thought, you know, maybe he's just preparing for every soul that comes to him. You know, he's preparing, he's constantly preparing for the souls that are still coming to him. So let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is preparing a place. And let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus has provided a comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it says here that the Holy Spirit will abide with us forever. You know, once you receive the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. Your life will never be the same again. It's impossible. You know, it's impossible to go back, I think, to the way you were. Once you know Jesus Christ, once you receive this life, you know, whenever I came to know the Lord, I couldn't, it was something that was supernatural in my life. You know, how the world all of a sudden looked as if it had colour in it. You know, brought out a complete darkness. It's amazing how you can be walking about in this world, but yet in complete darkness. You can be running about, doing whatever you were doing, partying and running about in cars and motorbikes or whatever, but yet laughing with the boys, but yet still in total darkness. And, you know, you're really in despair on the inside, but always looking for something else. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He just transforms and changes your life and gives you a real life. That's the life that comes from the Lord. And Jesus uses a couple of words here for the Holy Spirit. One of the words is another comforter. And the Spirit of Truth. And I wouldn't be big into Greek. Maybe some men in here are into translating a bit of Greek, but I was just looking over a wee bit of this in one of the Bible commentaries, and it's only John that uses this word here, and it's parakletos is the word in Greek for comforter, and that means called alongside to assist, and that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He comes alongside us, and He assists us every day. You know, we're never on our own. No matter what we're doing, we're never on our own anymore. Sometimes, you know, you might have it in your head that you're on your own doing stuff, but you're never on your own. And nobody can grasp that truth more than me, having to get up here tonight, you know, to tell people about Jesus. You know, I don't like standing up in front of people and speaking. It's something that I'm not that fond of. But, you know, my desire to tell people about Jesus is bigger than my fear of getting up to speak to people. So as long as the balance stays like that, I'll be all right. But it's the Holy Spirit in us that does this. And the Holy Spirit abides in every believer, without a doubt. Once you come to know Jesus, He's there. He's beside you. Jesus says He has provided a comforter. And the word another means another of the same kind. That's what it means. That's what Jesus was saying to His disciples here. Another of the same kind. You know, Jesus was leaving, but yet Jesus was leaving another of the same kind. The Spirit of God is not different from the Son of God, for both are God. The Spirit of God had dwelt with the disciples in the person of Jesus Christ. Now He would dwell in them. That's something really special. That, you know, Jesus was leaving and going to be in heaven with His Father, but yet He was leaving the Holy Spirit, who was just equally as comforting and as helpful to the disciples. And that's the same for us today. You know, we have this Holy Spirit that all believers have had since the start of this world. You know, some men had it in the Old Testament, but on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, the Comforter came, the Helper came, we have that. And there'll be a lot of people on here who know just exactly what I'm talking about, and having that in our lives. And once you have the Spirit of God in your life is never the same. Things have to change. You know, that's not saying that you become a Christian and all of a sudden there's rules and regulations and you can't do this and you can't do that. But, you know, when you come to know God, things start to go. Things start to change. You know, I used to have two big massive hoops in my ears. You know, you could have hung parrots on them. They were that big. And, you know, nobody ever told me. You know, I was coming into a lot of meetings like this and Les McCarroll, and I had the big hoops and all, and I didn't think that much of it, you know, a wee bit. And then over time, you know, that's the Spirit of God working in your life. You know, and I used to have rings nearly on every finger too, and necklaces, and, you know, these were all things that I was hiding behind. You know, and these things started to go. You know, I didn't need these things anymore. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. You know, but for me and for the Lord in my life and the Holy Spirit in my life, I didn't need these things anymore. These things were just, as I say, I was kind of hiding behind them in my life. And once you receive the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us that your body is a temple. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, what ye not... Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For your body at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, and that's some truth in that, you know, about her body's a temple. And, you know, there's something that I'm addicted to in my life, and it's something that I'm going to have to deal with. And I'm struggling with it. And I've struggled with it probably this last 4 years, maybe 5 years. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. It's coffee. And I can't get away from it. But it's something that has got a dominant thing in my life. You know, I have to get up in the mornings. First thing it is coffee, filtered coffee. And it's something that I'm going to deal with, because I know that maybe it's not the best for me just to be drinking a lot of this stuff flat out. And that's how God moves in your life. God knows what's good for you. And I don't want to sound like an extremist. You know, you become a Christian, you can't drink coffee. But it's different things for different people. You know, maybe in other people it could be spending too much time in front of the TV, or different things could be maybe abusing your body with the wrong kind of foods. But it's all about having the balance. You know, and if you can have the balance, the Holy Spirit will help you in your life to keep that balance. So, let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is preparing a place. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus has provided a helper who will abide with you forever. You know, that's what the disciples needed, and that's what we need. Without that, you know, we have nothing. Without the Spirit of God, we are nothing. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you do nothing. And that's the way it is. And that's why even in the prayer meeting there tonight, we pray so much for the Spirit of God to move and to speak to people's lives. Because, you know, without the Spirit of God moving, you know, it's just, everything's just words, you know. But it's through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the application of that onto people's lives that you'll see lives transformed and changed, no matter what we do. You know, I became a Christian, and my wife wasn't a Christian for, must have been 5 years maybe after I became a Christian. And that was really, really hard. You know, I can see now why the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. Because that's really tough. You know, you're in a totally different wavelength. You can still, you know, you're still getting on with each other. You still, but things are different. It's just, you're not on the same station at all. And it's just through the Holy Spirit moving in Karen's life. I used to preach away at Karen. You know, I never preached in the pulpit, but, you know, after I became a Christian, I was preaching away at Karen. I just couldn't understand, you know, why can you not understand this? I had a lot of friends coming to my house too, and they just couldn't understand what had happened to me. But equally, I couldn't understand how they couldn't see what I could see. You know, because God had enlightened me through the Word of God, but it was through me coming to God too. It's a two-way thing. You have to open up to God too and come to God and be willing. You know, that's what happened to me in my life. And, you know, I realized that the more that I stopped preaching at Cairn, and, you know, the more I relied on the Lord, you know, which I should have done from the start, you know, the more Karen's life started to change. And praise the Lord, Karen. Karen's now a Christian, and she's going on strong. And you'll remember in your prayers, if you would, there's none of her family who are Christians, and that life's not that easy. Maybe if there's not many in your family who are Christians, so it's you'll just remember in your prayers, if you would. And, you know, have you ever thought of your old life, how you were before you knew Jesus? You know, a lot of times I think, that's where was I? You know, what was my life like? There was nothing there. There was an emptiness there. You know, it was just like, just going through the motions. People say that, you know, it's boring being a Christian. You know, I heard a lot of that growing up, and I thought a lot of that. I thought all these ones going on now to church were, you know, what's wrong with their head? But, I realized, you know, that they have something. You know, it's boring. It's boring going to parties all the time. It's boring drinking all the time. You know, just doing the same things, going through the same motions. I talk to boys every week that are going through the same motions. And they tell me on the Monday and the Tuesday or whatever, or the Sunday, that they're fed up, and but yet through the motions again. That's it. That's life. Let not your heart be troubled. He has given us peace. It says that in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit is not peace. The Holy Spirit brings us peace. That's the way it is. You know, once you ask Jesus into your life, as the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it's not peace comes into your life, but peace then comes into your life through the Word of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to give us peace. That's how we get peace too, the peace of God, teaching. The Holy Spirit teaches us and helps us and trains us. And when we think of peace, you know, everybody on here knows what it's like to live in a land where there's no peace. You know, that's where a lot of us grew up, and a lot of people here older than I am will have seen more of that, you know, than I ever did. And, you know, when we think of peace, we think of an absence of, you know, or we think of a ceasefire. We think of the trouble stopping. Or we think of no conflict. That's what comes onto our mind. You know, even when we look around the world and how the world's in turmoil and, you know, the next thing, there's peace. That's what we think of as peace. But peace for the Jewish people was different. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which means... It's a very precious word for them, and it means more than the absence of war and conflict. It means wholeness, completeness, health, security, and even prosperity. And that's what Jesus is saying here to the disciples. You know, that's what he's given. That's the peace that Jesus has given. It's not the peace that this world recognizes as peace. The peace of this world is man-made. It's manufactured. You know, it's a material things, and... It's something that men have to work at, the peace in this world. But God's peace is joy and contentment. And that's not to say that you run about with a big massive smile on your face every day. When you get up tomorrow morning, you'll not have this big smile on your face all day. You know, we've still got the struggles of this life. There's nothing easy. But we have the joy and the peace and the contentment of God in our lives when we trust in the Lord. You know, this world's peace is very dependent on resources. God's peace is dependent on a relationship with God. That's the only way to get peace in your life, is through Jesus Christ and coming to God and walking in a relationship with God. Unsaved people enjoy peace when there's an absence of trouble. But for Christians, we enjoy peace in spite of trouble. You know, this is just a message tonight to encourage you, because you will have troubles. Jesus is in this world, you will have troubles. That's guaranteed. But it's how we react through these troubles, it's how we cope with these troubles every day that makes us different. And that's how people are looking at us too. In every situation that we're in, people are always looking at us to see how we react to everything. That's what makes us different, because we have the peace of God in our lives. So how do we get this peace? How do you get this peace in your life that Jesus is speaking about? Well, there's only one way to get the peace of God in your life, and that's to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask for Jesus to come into your life. And then the Spirit of God comes into your life, and the peace of God will come into your life through learning and through teaching of the Word of God. And every single day, you know, in my life, I get through my day by the Word of God. And I'm sure a lot of you in here know what I'm talking about. You know, it's only through verses in the Bible that I go on. You know, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You know, all these verses keep coming on to your head, you know, as you walk through this world. That's the only thing that keeps us going. And thinking about the Word of God and dwelling on the Word of God will really help you in your life. And the more you can learn of the Word of God, the better it will be for you. I have no doubt about that, you know, because as I learn verses continually, I try to learn verses, it helps me, you know, just to absorb the Word of God and to grow in the Word of God. And it's through these verses. Karen and I, our wedding anniversary was a wee while back there, and all I wrote in the card was Galatians 5, verse 22 and verse 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, and that's what we need. You know, and when you can get the verses out of the Word of God, you know, and I need that. I need all those things there in my marriage to help my marriage. So anytime Karen goes mad in the house now, not that she goes mad or anything, but anytime she cracks up a wee bit with me, I was kept saying there, love, joy. And then it got to that point then where I never even had to open my mouth my oldest girl, Rhiannon, she would start saying it instead of me. So that was all good in the house. So it's just good to spend time with God and be encouraged in the things of God and just to focus on God from morning to night. You know, if I asked you now, how long would you be up in the mornings before you talk to God or before you think about God? You know, have you thought about that for a wee minute? You know, that's how important God is in your life. You know, if you're totally dependent on God, you'll think about God, you'll want to be with God, spend time with God and pray and worship God from morning to night. First thing in your head and the last thing in your head. Now, Jesus was going away. It says here in verse 28, it says, you would rejoice, he was saying to the disciples. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. You know, Jesus was telling the disciples they should rejoice because he was going to heaven. And we should rejoice too, because Jesus was fulfilling the purpose that he came to this world for. You know, to go to the cross. As I say, we have that now. We've got the completed scriptures. We can see the whole picture through enlightenment too of the Holy Spirit. But the disciples never had what we had. But that's what Jesus was telling them. You know, to rejoice. And we should thank God for that. Because Jesus has got an intercessory ministry for us in heaven. You know, that's what helps us and gets us through the day. Just take everything to the Lord in prayer. You know, we've got the Spirit of God within us. We've got our Savior above us, and we've got the Word of God before us. And that's why we walk. And that's the only reason that we walk. You know, if it wasn't for the Lord in our lives, where would we be walking? And how would we be walking? You know, there's a lot of places in the land that are dead, you know, because maybe through not getting the Word of God preached in the appropriate way. And we should just rejoice that we can come to the Lord, you know. And you should thank God, you know, for Jonathan here as he preaches the Word faithfully, you know. And just thank God for that, because I say there's a lot of places on this land and across this country, and it's getting worse where the Word of God is not getting preached in the appropriate way. So that's just a message tonight, folks. Hopefully it'll give you a wee bit of encouragement. And let not your hearts be troubled. He is preparing a place. We're only here for a few years. I'm only here for a few years. Nobody knows the day or the hour, you know, and just take courage in that God is preparing a place for you. And, you know, someday we're all going to leave here and we'll look back and we'll be totally different. You know, none of us will look like we look now. That'll be a good thing. And it'll be amazing just to be in heaven and to be in his presence together and looking back in these days. You know, so take courage and be bold, you know, when you go out to minister to other people and speak to other people, be bold and just take that courage. I know it's not easy witnessing to people a lot of the time, but sometimes, well, most of the time it's about stepping out of the comfort zone when you witness for Jesus Christ. And just draw on the Holy Spirit in your life, you know, the comforter and the helper. You know, continually ask the Holy Spirit to help you and come alongside you and to help you to understand things. And praise the Lord that he has given us his peace in our lives, no matter what we go through. We don't know what we have to face from day to day, but thank God that we've got peace. If we didn't have the peace of God, where would we be going? Amen.